Strategic petroleum reserve shifts from emergency buffer to geopolitical weapon. The U.S. strategic petroleum reserve dropped to 319.5 million barrels in the week ending July 3, its lowest level since 1983, as the United States-Israel war on Iran pushed Brent crude to $78.02 a barrel and exposed a structural vulnerability that no amount of domestic production can fully neutralize. The Department of Energy confirmed the drawdown of 6.2 million barrels in a single week, leaving the SPR at roughly 45% of its 713.5 million barrel storage capacity. Brent futures settled at $78.02 a barrel on July 9, a gain of 5.2% in one session, after U.S. President Donald Trump acknowledged publicly that American strikes on Iran cause oil prices to rise. The acknowledgement from Trump was, in itself, a market signal. The executive branch understands the feedback loop and has chosen to accept it. Maxim Sonnen, an energy executive affiliated with Stanford University's Center for Fuels of the Future, told Al Jazeera that energy independence does not translate to price independence, because crude oil trades on global benchmarks that reflect worldwide supply and demand rather than origin. The implication for institutional portfolios is direct. U.S. energy self-sufficiency is a production story, not a price story. The broader concern extends well beyond the United States. The U.S.-Israel war on Iran is forcing governments across Africa, Asia, and Europe to reprice energy security risks simultaneously, compressing the window of global supply flexibility at precisely the moment the SPR buffer is thinnest. For investors, this convergence of a depleted strategic stockpile and a live military conflict near the world's most consequential oil choke point is not a tail risk. It is the current operating environment. The arithmetic of depletion. How the SPR got here. The SPR was established in 1975 after the Arab oil embargo exposed U.S. dependence on imported energy. Its storage capacity of 713.5 million barrels, housed in salt caverns at four Gulf Coast locations, was last close to full in the 2010s. Since then, two distinct emergency drawdowns have consumed the cushion. The first came after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, when Brent crude breached $130 a barrel in March 2022, and average U.S. retail gasoline prices climbed above $5 a gallon. The Biden administration released SPR barrels over a six-month period in coordination with the International Energy Agency, a coalition of 28 member countries. That release addressed a supply shock without a direct U.S. military component. The current drawdown is categorically different. Releases began in early March 2026 following the initial U.S.-Israel strikes on Iran, again in IEA coordination. Yet retail gasoline prices climbed from $2.98 per gallon on February 28 to $4.48 per gallon by mid-May, a 50% increase in roughly 10 weeks, according to data from the American Automobile Association. The SPR release did not prevent the price spike. It may have moderated the magnitude, but the consumer absorbed a substantial shock regardless. Abhay Rajendran, a non-resident fellow at Rice University's Center for Energy Studies in Houston, told Al Jazeera that the current pace of export-driven releases to balance global markets is not sustainable over a prolonged period. That assessment carries a specific implication. The U.S. is now exporting from a buffer designed for domestic emergencies in order to suppress global benchmark prices. The buffer is doing two jobs simultaneously, and it is shrinking. At 319.5 million barrels, the SPR holds roughly 44.8% of its 713.5 million barrel design capacity. The reserve has absorbed two major emergency drawdowns in 4 years, the post-Ukraine release of 2022 and the current Iran-related release that began in March 2026. The Hormuz paradox. Why 7% exposure drives 50% price moves only approximately 7% of crude oil consumed in the United States transits the Strait of Hormuz. Domestic production covers roughly 60% of U.S. refinery inputs, with Canada supplying approximately 60% of imports and Mexico contributing around 7%. On paper, the U.S. looks insulated. The price data tells a different story. A 50% retail gasoline price increase in 10 weeks is not the behavior of an insulated market. The mechanism is competitive displacement. Approximately 1/5 of global oil supply passes through the Strait of Hormuz. When that flow is threatened, buyers in South Korea, India, Japan, and the European Union compete for replacement barrels from non-Hormuz producers, including the U.S. Gulf Coast. That competition tightens the global market and drives benchmark prices higher regardless of any individual country's import geography. Sonnen described strategic reserves as a short-term instrument designed to buy governments time rather than resolve crises. The longer a disruption persists, he noted, the less flexibility governments retain. The U.S. conflict with Iran is not measured in days. It is measured in months. Time is the variable the SPR cannot manufacture. For Africa, the transmission channel runs through shipping and fuel costs. The Al Jazeera reporting on Africa's geopolitical recalculation notes that the Strait of Hormuz is a critical choke point whose disruption is already affecting fuel costs, trade, and economic planning across the continent. Countries carrying existing debt burdens and fragile fiscal positions absorb energy price shocks with less capacity to respond than advanced economies. The geopolitical reordering that follows has investment consequences across sovereign credit, agricultural commodity chains, and infrastructure finance. Agricultural contagion, the hidden energy-to-food transmission, higher crude prices do not stop at the gas station. Airlines, trucking companies, and freight networks pay more for jet fuel and diesel. Those costs move through supply chains into food prices and consumer goods. The agricultural input channel adds a second vector. Forbes reported on July 9 that China is restricting fertilizer exports to U.S. farmers, a move that compounds input cost pressures already elevated by higher diesel and transportation costs. The intersection of energy price inflation and fertilizer supply restriction hits U.S. agricultural operating margins from both sides simultaneously. For institutional investors with exposure to U.S. farmland, food processing, or agricultural equipment, this dual pressure is not priced as a single risk event. The implication extends to emerging market food security. Countries in sub-Saharan Africa that import both fuel and fertilizer face a compounding cost structure where every barrel of disrupted Hormuz supply raises domestic food prices through at least three separate pathways: direct fuel import costs, freight and logistics costs, and fertilizer input costs. Caption: Key metrics for the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve and oil market pricing as of July 2026. Capacity utilization, calculated by Plaquemium Holdings from Department of Energy figures. Geopolitical reordering. Who fills the vacuum beyond the immediate price signal? The U.S.-Iran conflict is accelerating a geopolitical reallocation of influence that has direct consequences for capital allocation across emerging markets. In Africa, the Al Jazeera reporting identifies Russia and Turkey as external powers positioned to expand their security and economic footprints as uncertainty over Western commitments grows. Moscow has deepened military cooperation through the Africa Corps framework, while Ankara has expanded through defense exports, drone technology transfers, and diplomatic engagement. Iran's ability to sustain its own African partnerships may be constrained by a prolonged conflict, but the Al Jazeera analysis notes this would not reduce external involvement in African security affairs. It would increase competition among outside powers. For institutional investors, this dynamic has a direct read-through to sovereign risk pricing, infrastructure project financing, and the terms under which resource extraction concessions are negotiated. Governments diversifying away from a single external partner typically accept more complex deal structures, shorter concession periods, and higher domestic content requirements. Sudan is cited specifically as a focal point where these wider geopolitical shifts are playing out, with its civil war increasingly shaped by external alliances and competing supply networks. The Red Sea shipping dimension adds a logistics layer. Any further deterioration in Red Sea passage security compounds the Hormuz disruption by threatening a second major maritime corridor simultaneously. The plecamium view the market is pricing this conflict as a bilateral event with a defined endpoint. We do not share that framework. The SBR depletion story has a structural dimension that outlasts any ceasefire. Even if hostilities with Iran cease tomorrow, restoring the SBR from 319.5 million barrels to a level approaching design capacity requires either sustained crude purchases at current or higher market prices, or a period of reduced drawdown that leaves less buffer for the next disruption. The U.S. government faces a rebuild cost problem that is, by definition, inflationary at the margin. Every barrel purchased to refill the SBR competes with commercial demand. The second-order play that the source reporting does not address is the SBR rebuild trade. When the U.S. government begins systematic SBR repurchase, it will be a price-supportive buyer in the physical crude market with a publicly announced mandate and an enormous volume target. That is a different market environment than the current drawdown phase. Energy producers, particularly U.S. shale operators with short-cycle production capacity, are the direct beneficiaries. The Africa angle deserves more institutional attention than it is currently receiving. The combination of higher energy costs, fertilizer supply constraints, and accelerating geopolitical competition for influence creates a specific set of conditions. Sovereign borrowers under fiscal stress, infrastructure projects repriced for higher input costs, and governments with increased negotiating leverage as multiple external powers compete for partnerships. Distressed sovereign debt and infrastructure equity in resource-rich African markets are the asset classes most directly exposed to this dynamic, in both directions. We also flag the fertilizer-food nexus as an underappreciated second-order risk. China's reported restriction of fertilizer exports to American farmers, layered on top of elevated diesel and transportation costs, creates a cost-push dynamic in U.S. agricultural production that has not been fully absorbed into commodity-forward curves. Agricultural commodity exposure deserves a higher risk premium in the current environment than consensus pricing reflects. The bottom line, the SBR is not a policy tool that can be recycled indefinitely. Two emergency drawdowns in 4 years have consumed more than half the reserve's capacity. The next supply shock arrives with a materially smaller buffer. Institutional portfolios that treat energy security as a background variable rather than a first-order risk factor are mispricing the environment. The bottom line, the SBR at 319.5 million barrels is a diminished instrument facing a conflict with no visible resolution timeline. Brent at $78.02 and rising, a 50% retail gasoline price increase in 10 weeks, and a geopolitical reordering that extends from the Strait of Hormuz to the Red Sea to sub-Saharan Africa define the current investment environment. Energy producers with U.S. Gulf Coast exposure, physical commodity traders positioned for volatility in crude benchmarks, and selective sovereign credit positions in resource-exporting African nations represent the clearest institutional opportunities. The SBR rebuild trade, when it comes, will be the most consequential government crude purchase program since the reserve's creation in 1975. The risk is that the conflict extends long enough to exhaust the buffer entirely before that trade becomes available.